Well, I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach tonight. I invite you to take your Bible and turn to John chapter number 21 this evening. John chapter 21. One of the fruits of revival meetings are the church house being full. And I'm encouraged looking out here tonight on a Sunday night. There's a lot of people being here tonight. And so I'm encouraged by that. I guess you didn't know who was preaching, so that's the reason why you came. So I'm glad that Brother Wiggins didn't announce this morning who was preaching tonight. I'm thankful for the revival we just came through, and if I were Brother McCracken, I would encourage you to take your little thingy-mabobber thing here and mark it right there in John chapter 21, and I am going to encourage you to take your ribbon and put that in John chapter 21, and would you thumb over to Galatians chapter number 4 this evening? Just an introductory verse to kind of get the message started. I was thankful for a revival meeting. I was thankful for how God spoke to my heart. We had the opportunity this summer to really have multiple revival meetings that teenagers did. We got a chance to go to Honduras for 10 days, and I felt like we were living in a revival meeting, being able to chance to see God do some great things and a chance to preach and a lot of exciting things happening. Then we got to come back for a couple weeks, and we got to go to Southland Christian Camp and hear just tremendous preaching. I feel like we had a revival meeting all week long. And then we got to come back the last 2 weeks ago and hear another revival meeting, so I feel like we've been through it this summer. But I'll just tell the teenagers this evening during our prayer meeting tonight, and just telling them that it's easy to go through a revival meeting and say, I'm not going to let this fire die. And I don't know about you, but I've said that a time or two, and the fire has died a time or two. I've come out of a revival meeting and thought, I'm going to do a better job of, and then I found that just it waned over time. Or you know what, I'm going to start doing this. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach. I'm a preacher, and so I know sometimes people say, what do you think when you get a chance to preach? Well, I love it. I never turn it down. There's nothing I enjoy doing more than preaching. I get nervous in church. I was telling the teenagers, I'm 1,000% more comfortable speaking to teenagers than when I get in here and get a chance to speak to adults. But God's been working in my heart about a message, and it's changed since yesterday. I got a chance to work on it last night and today again, but I'm excited and hoping that God will bless this message, speak to our hearts. Galatians chapter number 4, and let's read verse number 17. The Bible says, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. Verse number 19. My little children. This is Paul writing. And it's just he refers to the followers that they are my little children. These are the ones who Paul has reached with the gospel. These are the ones who Paul has led to the Lord and Paul has ministered and preached to. He says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again. Now, I'm not a mother and I'm very thankful that I'm not. But I have had the privilege of being there when my children were born, and I can understand just a very, very small part of what that Bible says when it says travail and birth again. Mothers out there, you can understand a lot more than us fathers can. But Paul says, I travail and birth again. In other words, there's something inside me that's laboring and toiling, and there's a pain and there's agony. But what's he agonizing about? It says, I travail and birth again. And here's what he says, until Christ be formed in you. Until Jesus Christ be formed in us. Now, I've been saved for about 26 years. And some of y'all, that's something like a long time. Some of y'all have been saved for 50 or 60 years, 70 years. Some of y'all, maybe more than that. But may I remind you that along the Christian life journey, we never arrive. When you're in a revival meeting, I don't know about you, but Monday night, the revival meeting, when I heard the message on humility, I was in the sound booth, so I couldn't respond, but I was responding from the sound booth because I don't know who you are, but to be able to sit and listen to that message and think, nope, I'm all right. I'm not. There's no pride in my life. Everything's great. God spoke to my heart in the revival meeting. And I know in my life, God is always being formed in me. And I want to take a Bible character tonight. So let's take our Bibles and turn back to John chapter 21. You know where your thingy-mabobber is in your Bible? John chapter number 21. And we're going to look at the life of Simon Peter. Well, just by way of recap, we're going to go back and look at a couple places in his life. And then come to this point, really kind of the crux in Simon Peter's life, where God really begins to push on Simon Peter and get him to the point where my message title will come tonight. Here's the title of my message. Getting to the place where God can finally work. Getting to the place where God can finally work. May we pray together? Lord, I'm so thankful for the privilege, Lord, to open the Word of God tonight. And Lord, I recognize what a privilege and what a responsibility is, Lord, to be able to preach the Word of God. And so, Lord, tonight I pray, Lord, this is not my message, this is your Word. So, Lord, I pray you'd hide me behind the cross, and, Lord, that you just help me to be a mouthpiece through which you can speak. And Lord, I pray tonight that decisions will be made, Lord, that Lord, we each look at our lives and we would recognize, Lord, if we truly love you like we should. And so I pray tonight that you would, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, may you please speak to hearts, which I cannot do. And may people leave here different than we came. In Christ, then we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 5, if you remember the stories, Jesus comes and there's a few men fishing and Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And Luke chapter 5 records a story. They had toiled all night, they had fished and they caught nothing. And Jesus was there by the shore and there was lots of people, the multitude with them. And so Jesus said, bring your boat, and he cast out just a little bit from the sea and he preached to them. And then he said to them, launch out in the deep. Remember our theme from last year, launch out into the deep and cast down your nets for a draw. You'll remember Simon Peter said, Lord, we have toiled all night and have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down my net. And we know the story. They had gone all night long and not caught a single fish. And that day when they dropped that fishing net in the water, their nets broke because there was so many fish in the net. And if you remember, that was the time when the Lord said unto me, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. And if you remember the story, the Bible says they forsook their nets, they forsook their boats, and they followed Jesus. What a great start, right? Matthew chapter number 16 is where the Lord says, let's actually turn to Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. I think this is an interesting passage to note because as I've been studying this, the Lord has been pointing out some things to me, and I'm appreciative as the Lord. This is a passage I've looked at a lot in my life and I studied, but just today there's been some just golden nuggets I got from it. So hopefully maybe some of these will be an encouragement to you. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 13. The Bible says, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And guess who answers? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I want you to notice what happens in verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto them, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah, son of Jonas. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter. Matthew chapter 16. Simon Bar-Jonah, and now he refers to him as Simon Peter. And through the rest of the gospel records, we understand that his name is changed to Peter. He's referred to as Simon Peter. So keep that in mind. And we see Peter just all the time speaking up for the Lord, okay? And then just not a few chapters later, we have the Last Supper. And do you remember the Lord sat there? The Lord said to his disciples, in just a few moments, one of you will betray me. Remember what Simon Peter said? Lord, though everyone betrays you, I will never betray you. Yeah. And the Lord said to him, Simon, before the cock crows thrice, you're going to betray me. And Simon Peter said, that will never happen. And just a few minutes later, you know the story the Bible says is he's followed afar off. He came by fire. When he came by fire, he warmed himself. And they said, we know who you are. You're with Jesus. And he said, I don't even know the man. I don't even know the man. And then finally, he even cusses. He even curses and says, I don't know the man. And then the cock crows. So that's kind of what's transpired in Simon Peter's life. And let's pick up a reading in John chapter 21. The Lord has resurrected. He's been about 40 days here on earth. And this is the fourth time the Lord reveals himself to his disciples. Chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Does it sound familiar? Luke chapter 5, they fished all night, they toiled all night, and they caught nothing. They go and they catch nothing. Simon Peter goes back to fishing. Now, is there anything wrong with fishing? No. It's like asking the question, is there anything wrong with baseball? No. Is there anything wrong with football? No. Is there anything wrong with shopping? No. Is there anything wrong with you put your hobby in there and there's nothing wrong with that hobby? But sometimes those hobbies can take the place of other things in our life. For instance, if you say, is there anything wrong with football? No. Unless it keeps you from church. Or unless it keeps you from doing what God wants you to do. Is there anything wrong with baseball? Well, if it's on Saturday, great. Is anything wrong with baseball on Sunday? Well, you tell me. See, those things in our life can become hindrances. Simon Peter just simply went fishing. No big deal. Verse number 4, they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Now, just picture yourself in the story here. Here you're Simon Peter, the seven disciples. Out of 11 disciples left, seven are in the boat. And there's this voice, and they don't recognize who the voice is. They don't recognize who the person's speaking. And they said, cast your net over on the right side of the boat. And here's what happens. They do it. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw in for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord. He girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself in the sea. Just Simon Peter all over again, right? John says, it's the Lord. And Simon Peter grabs his jacket, puts his fishing coat on, dives in the water, and gets up to shore. Now, the Lord's here to meet up with the disciples. But may I tell you, even the meeting of this disciples, the Lord had a definite plan. And that plan was, he was coming to get a hold of Simon Peter. See, Simon Peter had made some mistakes. Simon Peter had said he'll never do some things that he had done. Simon Peter, if you could imagine, was going through a great revival. Remember, he grabbed the man's sword and he cut off Malchus's ear? I mean, everything's going well. And then all of a sudden, in just a split decision, it seems like Simon Peter's laid up. And the Lord goes after Simon Peter. Aren't you glad that we have a God who doesn't leave us alone? I don't know about you, but I've messed up 1,000 and 2,000 and 3,000 and 4,000 times. But there's a God in heaven who will forgive us and will give us our 1,000th chance. And I'm glad we serve a gracious God. And the Lord came to Simon Peter. The Lord says, Simon, and he starts talking to him. Look at verse number 9. As soon as they were coming to the land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus said to them, bring the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes. 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broke. Now, why do you think the Bible tells us there are 153 great fish? It's kind of fun when you read different commentators. I read some different commentators and studying this. Some commentators, I really think, just wrote things down that I even read in the passage. I really think that some of the ones I was reading today. Most of the commentators agree that the 153 really was just a number on there, because if you caught 153 great fishes, that was the catch of a lifetime. And I'm sure as fishermen, they were thinking how much they could sell that for, and they were thinking, wow, what a great day. But see, the Lord wasn't concerned about the 153 great fishes. Right now, Simon Peter was. But in just a moment, you're going to realize that the fish didn't mean anything. The fish was just a means to get Simon's attention. Now, I want you to notice in verse number 9, as soon as they come there to land, they saw a fire of coals there. If you're Simon Peter, in just about 40 days prior, you had betrayed the Lord while warming yourself at a fire, do you think that by any chance that fire might still remind you of what happened just a few days prior? Do you think as Simon Peter walked past those coals and he's thinking about that time when he denied the Lord as he's looking him in the face for just the fourth time after he's denied him? Do you think God allowed a fire of coals there because he was trying to stir up in Simon Peter's mind something? Let's keep on reading here. Verse number 12. Jesus said to them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Because they knew it was the Lord. Verse 13. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after that he was risen from the dead. And verse 15, here it all begins to turn. See, the Lord is after Simon Peter and the Lord's after the disciples. But we all know from the book of Acts, if we've read the rest of the story, that Simon Peter is going to be the key player in the early church. Simon Peter is going to be the man that stands up just a few days later, the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 men are saved. Simon Peter, he's going to be preaching just a few weeks later outside of jail, and 5,000 people are saved. Simon Peter is going to be the one that's eventually going to be crucified upside down because of his devotion and love for the Lord. But right now, Simon Peter, if you could imagine, is just kind of coasting. Simon Peter has been on the mountaintop, but he's kind of coming back down a little bit. And his failures and his sins and his lack of love for the Lord is evident. And I want you to notice what the Lord does. In verse number 15, I never noticed this until I was reading it today. It's verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto him, Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas. I never noticed that before. When did the Lord refer to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas? We referred to him before he changed his name, right? He referred to him because that was the old Peter. Simon, son of Jonas, was the Peter that, you know, that was a fiery man and a man before he was really following the Lord. And he refers to him by his name that he was born by. He says, Simon, son of Jonas. Then he asks him a question that's piercing. He says, lovest thou me more than these? Now, what are these? You can speculate. There's a lot of different things these could be. These could be the disciples. These could be the fish, the 153 great fish sitting around. These could be his net or his boat. But we do know this, that the Lord was trying to get his attention. He was asking a question. Simon, do you love me more than these? But see, we read it, we sometimes miss what God's doing. Because when the Lord used the word, he used the word agapo. Lovest thou me. That word agapo literally is referring to the kind of love that God has for us, a godly love. You could think of it this way, the word for the highest kind of love, love that is lofty, spiritual, and pure. And he says, Simon, do you love me? Do you agapo me? And if I asked you the question tonight, if I asked everyone in this room, do you love Jesus? Without hesitation, everyone would immediately say, yes, right? I've done it before the teenagers. How many of y'all love the Lord? And guess what everybody does? They raise their hands. Because of course you love the Lord, right? But may I tell the difference in this story? The Lord's standing there face to face with Simon. And the Lord's trying to get Simon Peter to get to the point where God can use him. But he's not there yet. The Lord's standing right there face to face with Simon Peter, and it's not like Simon can say, well, he doesn't really know what I've done, and so I can lie about it. He's standing face to face with the Lord. He's standing face to face with God in the flesh. He's standing face to face with the very one that just weeks prior he had denied thrice. He's standing face to face with the one that he said, Lord, though everyone else deny you, I will never deny you. And he's standing face to face. The Lord says to him, Simon Peter, do you love me? But I want you to look at his answer. He says to him, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. But the word he uses here is not the word agapo. The word he uses here is phileo, which is like a brotherly love. A love like, you are not just my friend, but yes, Lord, I love you. There's a tenderness between us. I always am very careful when I talk to the girls. And if I were talking to the girl, I would say, my wife and I love you. I would never say, I love you, just because being proper. The guys, I would say to the guys, like I was just talking to Russell a few minutes ago. I said, Russell, I love you, man. And I mean it. I love Russell. But I don't agapo Russell. But brotherly love, I mean, I love Russell. Russell is my first intern. And he's my first young man I got to send off to Bible college. I love Russell. He's a special young man in my life. And I can tell Russell I love you. But I'm not going to get to that point where it's that agapo love. That's not what I'm talking about. And God says to Peter, and men and ladies, you guys can all appreciate this. You have to go way back in time to when you were young and you were like the teenagers think some of them are in high school, in love. And you know when the guy says, the girl says to the guy, I love you, do you love me? And he says, I like you a whole lot. That never ends well, does it? Or your wife says to you, I love you, honey. And you're like, yeah, you're nice too. I like you too. That never has a good ending. But put yourself in the story. The Lord says, Simon Peter, do you love me with all your heart? And Simon says, Lord, brotherly love. Yes, Lord, I love you. And then the Lord says to him, feed my lambs. Verse 16. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he doesn't ask more than these this time. Now he just simply asks him, Simon, do you love me? Not do you love me more than anything else, just between you and me, Simon. Simon, do you love me? Do you agapo? Do you agape love me? And I want you to notice his answer. He says in verse number 16, he saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. And verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now when you read it here, you might miss what's happening. But the word the Lord switched to the third time is not agapo. Now it's phileo. The Lord says, Simon, do you love me with all your heart? And Simon says, yes, Lord, I love you. I mean, yes, brotherly love. Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, brotherly love. And then Jesus says to him, Simon, do you have a brotherly love for me? The interesting thing is we have all learned how to lie to get out of things. We have all learned how to make excuses and find our way out when we're kind of caught in a difficult situation. We've all learned how to fake it, haven't we? But I want you to know when you're face to face with the Creator God of the universe, there's no faking it. And God says, Simon, do you love me? He says, yes, Lord. Do you love me? And now the Lord says to him, Simon, do you love me? But I want you to notice the verse. Verse 17. And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, lovest thou me? See, Peter's grieved because now he doesn't say, do you agapo me? Now he says, because he says, Peter, do you even brotherly love me? Is there a brotherly love between us? Is there an affection that you have in your heart for me? And Peter's grieved. And I want you to know how you felt. Look at Peter's answer. And he said to them, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said to them, feed my sheep. Now, here's the message tonight. It's not really a complicated message. It's more of a challenging message to us. If I said to you tonight, do you love Jesus? Everyone would immediately say, yes. If I put you up here in front of everybody and said, tell us why you love Jesus, we could all do it. But I want you to notice that every time that Peter says, I love you, the Lord tells him, then do something. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. See, love is cheap sometimes when it's just words. I love my kids, and because I love them, there's times where I do things that I would never do for someone else's kids because I love my kids. I love my wife, and I will do things my wife that I wouldn't do for anybody else because I love my wife. She has my affection. See, the Lord's saying to him, Simon, if you love me, then here's what I want you to do. But the question is true three times, and here's the question. Simon, do you love me? And my question tonight is very simple for you. Do you love Jesus? But I don't want you to come back with the same answer you always come back with. I want you to put yourself in Simon Peter's shoes tonight, would you? And I want you to imagine the Lord's face to face with you, and the Lord begins to bring up your past failures. You see the coals. You see that area of your life where you look at it and you know there's a failure there and it's reminding of you. What if you could just imagine your name had been changed and the Lord calls you by your prior name to remind you that that's what you once were. That's not what you're supposed to be. See, the Lord is just honing in on Simon because God has a purpose and a plan for Simon's life. But you know the thing that gets me about this entire passage, the thing that speaks to my heart the most? It's found in verse number 17, where Simon Peter finally comes to this decision. He said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Do you get the idea that Simon Peter finally realizes there's no point lying? There's no point making excuses because the Lord knows. It's not like he's talking to someone he can lie to here on earth. He comes face to face with God and he says, Lord, you know. In other words, Lord, you could just open me up right now and between you and I, you know exactly what's going on. Because see, sometimes in our life, we can make really good excuses. Sometimes in our life, we can look at our past failures and we can say, Lord, you know, I really do love you. I really want to serve you. But there's this one thing that I just can't get past. Or, Lord, I love you and I would do this, but there's just one thing fishing, or there's this one thing sports, or there's this one hobby, or there's this one friend, or there's this one sin that keeps me from loving you like I should. And the Lord gets rid of all that, and finally Simon Peter realizes, Lord, you know all things. Between he and God, the Lord knows everything. May I remind you of something? We're not there face to face with God, but whether you're there face to face or whether you're just speaking to him in prayer, the Lord knows all things. I can look at you tonight, I could ask you individually, do you love Jesus? And of course, you would not say, actually, I don't. No one would do that. We'd all say, yes, Lord, I love you. And it's easy to look at me and say that, isn't it? But it's a little bit more difficult to look at the one who knows everything. And my question for you now is, do you love him? But I want you to notice what happens. The Lord's getting hold of Simon Peter's heart, and he says to him, feed my sheep. Then look at verse number 18. As if the story is not tense. As if Simon Peter is not feeling uncomfortable, and Simon Peter, I can just imagine Simon Peter standing there like, there's nothing I can say. Almost dumb, like, Lord, you know all things. Lord, you know. You know I love you, Lord. And look what he says in verse number 8 to him. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Do you realize what the Lord just told Simon Peter? He said, Simon Peter, you're going to die. And Simon Peter, here's how you're going to die. Someday, you're going to be led to a place you wouldn't go. And we all know the story. History tells us that Simon Peter was crucified just like our Lord. But because he didn't want to be crucified like our Lord, if you read history, history books will tell you that Simon Peter was crucified upside down on a cross because he refused to be crucified the same way the Lord was. See, can you imagine if the Lord said, do you love me? And then the Lord tells you how it's going to end for you. Can you imagine if you knew right now when your last day on earth was? But I want you to know something. If you know or if you don't know, the same rings true. See what the Lord told Simon to do? Feed my lambs. He didn't change what he told him to do. Hey, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Hey, do you love me? Feed my sheep. See, here's the thing about Simon Peter's life. God had a purpose and plan for Simon Peter's life. It's easy for us to look at Simon Peter and say, of course he did, Brother Latta. But do you know, just like God had a purpose and plan for Simon Peter's life, God has a purpose and plan for your life. You say, maybe I'm not going to be a preacher. Fine. Maybe I'm just going to be a Sunday school teacher. Fantastic. You know what you should do? Feed the lambs and feed the sheep. Maybe all I'm going to do with my life is I'm just going to become an engineer. Or I'm just going to become a doctor. Or I'm just going to become a lawyer. Or I'm just going to become a nurse. Almost as if that's all. But look, God has a purpose and plan for your life. It doesn't matter if you're 20 years old, if you're 70 or 80 years old. God has a purpose and plan for your life. But here's the thing. You will never do God's purpose and God's plan for your life until you get this first thing settled, which is this. Do you love Him? Do you love Him? And not like, yes, I love the Lord. I go to church on Sunday. I mean, of course I love the Lord. That's not what He's talking about here. He's asking, Lord, do you love me with all of your heart? And you know the thing about it is, we all have hearts. And if you could just imagine for illustration purposes, imagine my heart's this big, which it's not. But let's just imagine for the sake. It's a circle tonight, okay? This is my heart, all right? And imagine I have all this stuff in my heart. And I have my wife and my kids and the teenagers and church and my family. You know what begins to happen? My heart kind of gets filled up with stuff I fall in love with. And you know what happens if we're not careful? The Lord is the one that gets crowded out. Because when I love everything, it seems like the Lord just becomes another thing. And what people sometimes say is, the Lord, I'm going to make Him number one on my list. And that's good. I mean, I appreciate what you're saying. But see, the Lord doesn't belong on a list. The list belongs under God. I love the Lord, and because I love the Lord, I want to love my wife like I should. I love the Lord, and because I love the Lord, I want to love my kids like I should. I love the Lord, and because I love the Lord, I want to be the best youth pastor I could possibly be. I love the Lord, and because I love the Lord, all the things in my life that I enjoy doing fall under His authority. And God wasn't just trying to say to Simon Peter, Simon, do you love me? Okay, Simon Peter, I want you to be a preacher. God was trying to get right in Simon Peter's heart, and He was kind of getting right to the point. And I read this, and I brought it to the pulpit because I want to read it exactly. This is John Phillips. The threefold question matched the threefold denial. Did you ever think about that? He asked him three times, do you love me, do you love me, do you love me? How many times did Peter deny him? Three times. He said, he is passionate enough now. And the Lord looks at Simon Peter, and here's what Simon said. You know I have personal affection for you. You know me through and through. You know everything. You know what I said and what I did and what I am. You know me better than I know myself. Lord, out of all of your knowledge of me, you know I have brotherly love for you. You know I love you, and I can never love you the way you love me. There it is. I will never love the Lord the way He loves me. The Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. See, my love is just a reciprocating love. I love the Lord because the Lord loves me. I can never love Him like He loves me. But if I will consider Him, if I will consider the Lord who gave His life on the cross of Calvary to pay my sin's penalty, and if I'll consider what He did for me, then my love for Him will grow much stronger, because I'm thinking, the only reason why the capacity to love you is because you love me first. It was the confession of a man who had been put to the wall by his conscience and who stood now before the Lord, here's the word, broken, aware of his weakness, sensitive to his limitations, and afraid ever to boast again. See, I think right here in John chapter 21, it's like Simon Peter, the strong one, all becomes Simon Peter with no strength. Simon Peter's not going to rely on his strength. Simon Peter's not going to rely on the fact that he can speak up. Simon Peter's broken. Simon Peter, if you could imagine, has been through it. We could put it for us. We've heard the preaching. We've been on it. But now it's time to really make a decision. And Simon Peter, when he's confronted by the Lord, makes the right decision. But I want you to know something. Even in the right decision, as you read the rest of the chapter, it's kind of interesting what happens next. John chapter 21, verse number 19. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. See, the Lord gets Simon Peter to the point where he's just to the wall and there's nowhere else to turn. And the Lord says to him the exact same thing he said in the first time he met. Remember what he said? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now, Simon Peter feels like an absolute waste. Simon Peter feels like, I have failed at what God's called me to do. I have denied the Lord. I have done everything I'm not supposed to do. The Lord says to him, Simon Peter, come follow me. Verse number 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, say to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Do you notice what just happened? Simon Peter has just been put through it. You know what we do sometimes when we get put through it and we think, Lord, you have my attention. Have you been that revival meeting where you just want to go home and just say, Lord, I'm just done. I know I've messed up. Lord, I want to give my entire life to you. And Lord, I don't want to hold anything back. And Lord, you've spoken to my heart. And Lord, I know you're speaking to me. And then it seems like we can very easily find other people and have this idea, well, I'm not as bad as that person is. Or you know what? Yeah, you know, I know our family needs to do a better job, but we're better than such and such. Or, hey, you know what? I really felt like when I was in the preaching of God's Word that I should do this, but now I'm home and it's not as important to me anymore. Simon Peter gets there. I want you to notice what he says. Peter said, what shall this man do? In other words, what's going to happen to John? Is he going to be crucified too? And I like Jesus' response in verse 22. Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? In other words, if I will that John lives until I come back in the rapture, it has nothing to do with you. In other words, it's like he's saying, Simon, look back over here, Simon. I'm not talking to John, I'm talking to you. And you know what's easy for us to do after we come out of a revival meeting? We find somebody else we can compare ourselves to, and we're like, well, I'm not there. And as soon as we take our eyes off the Lord, we suddenly think we're not that bad. We suddenly think I'm really comfortable because, hey, look, I can look at this family and they miss church, so it's not a big deal if I miss church. Or I can look at somebody and I'd be like, you know, I really want to follow the Lord, but this person right here, they messed up too. And it's like the Lord wants to say, hey, look back over here. And I like what the Lord says to him. If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? And then what does he say to him again? Follow thou me. And I tell you what's interesting. The very last thing that the Lord said to Simon Peter here is reminiscent of the very first thing he said to him. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He says, Simon Peter, and he gets to the point where Simon Peter's up against the wall and he has nowhere else to turn. And Simon Peter is said to by the Lord, follow me, Simon. Simon makes his excuse and immediately God brings him back. And it's like the Lord says, Simon, just you and I. Simon Peter, here's what I want you to do. Follow me. May I tell you the hardest thing for us to do? The hardest thing for us to do is not to follow God. The hardest thing for us to do is not to be in church faithfully. The hardest thing for us to do is not to love God like we should or love our family like we should. The hardest thing for us to do is to love God like we should. Now follow this. If I love God like I should, the lesson is very simple and clear here. If I love God, immediately I will follow Him. If I follow Him, I will do what I'm supposed to do. And I will be what I'm supposed to be. But it all hinges on this very same question. Simon Peter, Simon son of Jonas, do you love me? Could I put your name in there tonight? I'll put my name in there for the sake of the question. Jesse Ladder, do you love me? Lord, yes. Jesse, do you really love me? Yes. Jesse, do you love me? And if I do, if I really love Him, then I'll follow Him. Let me ask you a simple question. What does God have for your life? You say, well, I know what the career is. Fantastic. Fantastic. But do you love Him? Are you following Him right now? Do you love Him like you should? I don't know about you all, but when I think about the Lord and I put myself in that story and I'm face to face with God and He asks me the question, it's really hard to lie to the Lord because He knows. Do you love Him? And He says, if you love me, very simple. Follow me. And by the way, Simon Peter did follow, didn't he? We read the book of Acts, we see God used Simon Peter in a big way. Do you want God to use you? It all comes back to this one question. Not what ministry you involved in our church and not where you had soul winning last week. It comes back to this. Do you love Him like you should love Him? And if you do, you'll do what you're supposed to do. Let's have a word of prayer. I'll turn the invitation over to Brother Wiggins. Lord, I just pray that may tonight, Lord, may you by your Holy Spirit ask the same question, Lord, that you've been asking Simon Peter. And Lord, especially the question you've been asking my own life. Lord, I want to love you like I should. Lord, I pray tonight that you would please, Lord, point your finger at people's hearts. And may, Lord, those areas where we don't love you like you should, Lord, would you please reveal them to us? Help us not to make excuses or compare ourselves to anybody else. Lord, help us just to honestly look at you. And Lord, may we fall in love with you all over again. In Jesus' name we pray.